puts it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5. These are interesting chairs in here. I'm trying to find one that fits. Here we go. Feeling better now. Got to feel good when you're hosting a radio show, right? The chair you have is important. It's hot in here. I think it's almost 80 degrees in here. I was trying to get over the summer in Houston, but here we are. Guillermo Lazo Romero behind the glass here tonight. Tonight we dedicate the show to Man U Mike Winters. People in the Houston soccer community know him. Mike recently passed. Today he was put to rest. So show dedicated tonight to Man U Mike Winters. All right. Guest tonight, Griffin Dorsey, Houston Dynamo. It's changed the dynamics of this team. Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona. And we'll have Charlie Kadupski of The Sports Source, who's been running a college showcase for many years, was at the head of, you know, kind of pioneered that in a lot of ways, certainly in the state of Texas. And we're going to talk, and this is an important one for parents out there, youth players that have ambitions to go to college. We're going to fit the conversation with Charlie Kadupski around the importance of college showcases and kind of what they present and the exposure you gain from them and where it fits into the college search for many, because that is what many are looking for going to the next level, either college or the professional game. So check this out. The Dynamo were 3 games away from the MLS Cup final, 3 wins away. Here's more good news. Sporting Kansas City smacked St. Louis in game 1. Sporting wins that series, and the Dynamo win their series against RSL. And guess what? The Dynamo get home field in the semifinals against Sporting Kansas City, their greatest rival, bar none. It's not FC Dallas. It's Sporting Kansas City. We're up on YouTube, courtesy of Guillermo Lazo Romero. Soccer Matters. A lot of good full interviews over there, a lot of different content. Get over there. He's also been hitting us with some great TikTok sort of action. And then, of course, you can subscribe to the podcast at Apple, Spotify, and Google. And, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Anything else you want to add to that, Guillermo?
Yeah, just real quick, make sure to check out that YouTube channel, because if for any of you that don't know, we are live with camera on Twitch and on YouTube channel. We will be posting those live hours with full camera, subtitles, and everything. So just make sure to subscribe. Soccer Matters on YouTube.
That's my producer, Guillermo Lazo Romero. Guy's a quick study. I wish I was as quick a study as him. I wish. Too late for that, I think. Doesn't mean it's too late to learn. All right. Lionel Messi won the Ballon d'Or. And there, you know, Lothar Matthäus comes out, the former German star. He speaks out and he says, you know, Erling Haaland should have won it. He did the treble. He broke the goal scoring record in the Premier League. You know, all of that, which there's nothing wrong with that take at all. But the takes are differing. The criteria is differing. And if the criteria is winning a World Cup, and that trumps everything, then it's all about Lionel Messi. And by the way, we called on this show that Erling Haaland was going to break the single-season goal-scoring record. We have proof of that. Many claimed he was not going to fit in at City. He's not good enough in the build-up. He's not good enough coming back to the ball. You know, all these differing things. And by the way, the two things I loved about Messi and Haaland in France at the Ballon d'Or was the fact that both of them credited the quality of the teams around them for their success, which I thought was spectacular. That's what humility does. Never heard Cristiano Ronaldo say that. It's pretty legit. And that's what great leaders, and not that Ronaldo wasn't a great player. We all know he was. Don't get your panties up in a bunch, all you Ronaldo fans out there. By the way, he was banished to Saudi Arabia to play. He's not playing in a prime market. And yes, MLS play is better than Saudi Arabia. You heard it here first. But Lothar Matthäus, back to him, he called Messi winning it a farce. So it's not a farce. And if he's calling it a farce, by the way, he's calling the 100 journalists who voted for it farcical. So I guess that's where his angst is directed. But you know what? Opinion's what makes it go. That's why this is a good debate. If there's anybody out there that says Erling Haaland should have won it, give us a call. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. What do you think of what Matthäus had to say, Guillermo?
Me personally, I don't want to go too much on the subject, but I am glad that Messi won it. But my primary, you know, concern with all of this is how is the general public or even like the future generation going to be looking at this award going forward after this year's winner and the reason for it.
What do you mean? It's tarnished?
I wouldn't say it's tarnished, but you could argue that these past couple of years, the award was very focused on winning the Champions League, you know, winning your league and stuff like that, being the best player at your club. And here we are, you know, celebrating a World Cup that happened a couple months back.
Yeah, but as much as people have criteria to vote on, they're thinking about all the competitions, whether we believe it or not, when they place their vote. In other words, you know, let's make an MLS example. Denis Bouanga, who's got over 30 goals in all competitions, you know, is the MVP in MLS supposed to include what he did in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup? No, but people just say, this guy's got 30 goals in all competitions. So it's totally subjective. I think the right man won it. He's won 8 of them. It's unprecedented. And Messi has opened the door now for more big name guys to come to America and join the fun in MLS. And the next one is supposed to be Luis Suarez. We've heard of potentially Antoine Griezmann of Atletico Madrid, Olivier Giroud, Luka Modric. All these names are being bannered about. So just look in that age demographic of players at the end of their careers. And if you find others that are in that category, they are possibility. So is Messi influencing others to go this route? Much like David Beckham, a second bump? And will we actually see it? I think that's possible. The problem, or not the problem, the importance comes and lies in the fact that if they come with the attitude like Lionel Messi to win, to compete, not to be here, you know, potentially on a part-time vacation, because there's been a lot of foreign players that have come to this league, have underestimated it, and have done very poorly in it, and have left with their tail wagging behind them, whether it meant anything or not. I think Steven Gerrard might fit in that category. And I've got some amazing sound from him that will contradict kind of what I just said. But, you know, some might question what is going on, you know, like with the TFC, for instance, Bernadeschi, Lorenzo Insigne. Did they come here fully respecting MLS? Maybe somebody in Toronto would tell us. 713-780-3776. The other thing is, can you build them into your team, into your team model, your structure, the way you play? Can you design a team around an older player to utilize their experience and talents? You can't get too old as a team. You got to have the right balance, and the system has to fit. Look at Sebastian Ferreira. He isn't even old, but he did not fit the system of Ben Olsen when he came here. It's pretty evident. Hector Herrera may be the best example of a DP that is older and that has more to give. That said, we didn't know that going into this season. One of the big question marks was Hector Herrera bought into Houston, Texas? Was he bought into the Dynamo? And there were not good reports after last year. Now, we learned this year That man is bought in with every single fiber of his body, and he's doing it on and off the field like there's no tomorrow. And he is the league MVP, in my opinion. And we've learned that beautifully. So I segue into Hector. I've been pretty vocal about him being the league MVP. By the way, 713-780. Hector Herrera, is he the league MVP for you? 713-780-3776. At the end of the day, it's an award. And the real prize is going to be winning an MLS Cup. But with that said, we got to do a deep dive in HH. So here we go. He bought in at the beginning of the year. That was a concern. He is a DP. What is a DP? A DP should be your best player, bar none. He is the best and most influential player for the Dynamo. That is also testament to the Dynamo staff to make sure that this DP, that it's his team, that it's built around him. Big investment in Hector Herrera. Makes a heck of a great living here. And he's earning every single dollar of it. The Dynamo put together a system that accents him. And the single pivot with Artur is a big piece of that. Because when you have a single pivot, you can allow Bossy, Carrasquilla, and Herrera in front of him, to be a very attack-oriented midfield. And Herrera wants to attack. He wants to play the 1-2s. He wants that sort of a game, and we've seen that. And the Dynamo have been good with that in a narrow way. And then they got the addition of width later on in the season. But back to Hector. He is a midfielder that plays the game the way he does. That separates him from the other three MVP candidates. They're all more attack-oriented in different systems of play. Hector Herrera affects every line of the Houston Dynamo. Front line, the midfield, the backs. He plays in every third of the field. He goes box to box. His movement, his mobility is hard to track. He can be back defending in the defensive third. He can set play from deep when needed. He can set the tempo in midfield. Every time he's on the ball, you get exceptional decision-making. The more he gets the ball, the more your team gets more good decisions made. And he knows the right pass to make 99% of the time. He picks out the right pass the game needs at the time. He picks out the right tempo to play at the right time. He's intelligentsia. He sits in different areas of the field. He helps problem solve, and you'll notice it's almost like he takes a bit of a timeout. He goes out wide for a while. And by simply going out wide, he's challenging another team because some of these teams try to man mark him. The guy's not going out there usually, if at all. So when he goes wide, he challenges the opponents, especially those that try to man mark him. So now he can help the team in wide areas to force change. In the final third, it's part of the buildup. Scores goals, like in the last match, produces assists. All right, I got more on Hector when we come back. This is The Clash. Oof. We got to play the goal calls from the Dynamo, too. We got to remind people that we will be on ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on Monday with Game 2 from Sandy, Utah. This is your soccer station in Houston. Show, as always, presented by the great John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Look, you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you need the best. The best is the Daspit Law Firm, bar none. John and his firm, they're personal injury attorneys. They will take your case. They'll work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. And I always encourage you to use the Daspit Law Firm because they are supporting the game you love. So the sponsors that support your game, you support them and you make the world go round when it comes to getting more coverage. We're trying to drive it. We're trying to get others to jump on the train here and talk deeper about the Houston Dynamo. Not just at playoff time, all year long. All right, Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. Big thank you to John and his firm. We'll take a break. You can call us at 713-780-3776.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ball's clipped in towards Carrasquilla. Drops to Herrera. He's at the 18. Lashes a shot in. Oh, it's Herrera. It's unbelievable.
Victor Herrera has lashed it in. And the Atletico Madrid man saluting the crowd. What a goal from Herrera. This is opening up beautifully here. Be careful. Anderson Julio. Luna's hitting the penalty spot. He's picked out. Luna shot, and Orozel has tied it up. Anderson Julio to Luna. And Orozel has did what they wanted to do here in the second half. They've tied it up. He's won it back at the top of the box. Carrasquilla. Here's Dorsey to win it. Second ball. Yes! It's Abid Bossy. The Moroccan magician has put up the Houston Dynamo 2-1 over RSL. Pandemonium here at Shell Energy Stadium.
This is Angry by the Rolling Stones. There's a lot of angry people these days. No question about that. Maybe RSL is right now. Why are you angry? So I was over at Cactus Music with Quinn. And they've got really good social media, just like you, Guillermo. So Quinn's the owner of Cactus Music. He's a big Rolling Stones fan. I went to Circuit of the Americas for their show there. And Quinn had this amazing like tent set up with the Rolling Stones logo on it and all this stuff. And he had all these really cool like music radio host guys and music store guys. And I got into the clique somehow. It was way up on a hill. And that's where we all went after the show was over. It was crazy. So when it was done, I walked down the hill to go to my car because my car is like 2 miles away. Coda's got these small roads to get into. You have to get there early. That's the trick. And I walked right through the staging and all the semis. The amount of semis there for equipment and everything was ridiculous. I'm walking right amongst it with all the people working. And it was just amazing to see the structure being torn down and all these cases that's got their logo on it. And anyway, we took a picture, and I was called a Rolling Stones nerd along with Quinn. But Quinn is a walking encyclopedia of music. But I can go toe-to-toe with him on the Stones. That's about it. All right, welcome back to the show. And big thanks to Cactus Music as well. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So that was a 2-1 win for the Houston Dynamo. Let me finish up on Hector Herrera here on the other reasons why I thought he was the MVP. Obviously, you got set-piece delivery. You scored a couple off free kicks. The Dynamo should have more goals off corners. They don't. They should have more. That's an area they would want to improve, and that could be the difference in the playoffs. But his leadership on and off the field, I mean, the engagement to the entire squad, the approachability to young players. Look, he's treating Corey Baird no different than Antoine Griezmann while at Atletico Madrid. Let's face it. He's got a special quality there of bringing everybody in. And that probably prevents clicks. I mean, guys naturally gravitate towards certain guys. But you can see in the course of a game the subtle things that he does to engage teammates, which, by the way, includes a very important thing that a DP needs to do, especially one that is giving his all, and that is simply demanding more from others. So Herrera here has done everything the Dynamo would want. He has raised the bar of demand and quality and expectation on what you're doing on the field. And you see it in him getting upset if the ball's not played to his right foot away from a defender. It's down to those types of subtleties, which a lot of times can be potentially the difference between MLS and higher quality leagues in Europe, where a ball is passed down to centimeters, right? So he's all over that. And you got to imagine that happens every day in practice. So immediately the culture, the bar, it all gets lifted. So he's influencing a club that last year was at the bottom of the Western Conference that now ends up in fourth place and has home field advantage. I always thought this team was going to make the playoffs this year, especially after I saw the buy-in from him. I had the Dynamo ticketed for 6th to 8th, maybe. 6th to 8th. Not many people agreed with me, but I just figured with Herrera, Artur, Coco, that midfield, that's going to make them ultra competitive right away. So they're going to make the playoffs. I did not think they would get home field advantage. They did. Now, my sense is you can't understate the importance of every day him lifting and keeping the acute nature of the quality at a high level. Doesn't let it drop. And we watch them warm up every game before, right below us in the radio booth. And you can tell it's even there in warmups. And he's happy. He's happy with the style of play. He's happy being a playmaker. He's relishing the role of being the leader. You know, we've seen this team try to 1-2 its way right down the heart of a defense. That now is a beautiful, fun thing to watch. This is part of the identity of the team now. You can hear the fan base talking about it. You can hear, I can hear people coming to me and saying, you know, stylistically, God, I love watching this team. We've never seen a possession-based team like this before. And then once you got the width, starting with Dorsey, who fundamentally changed this team. And by the way, wait till you hear that interview tonight. That's one you are not going to want to miss, because I ask him everything. If he feels like opponents are now changing the way they play against him, you're going to like this. Also, there's a little Scooby-Doo hit in there, too, which if you know who Scooby-Doo is. But anyway, my producer's looking at me like I'm crazy, Guillermo. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. Speaking of long runs, Scooby-Doo has had a long run. So, you know, he didn't come here, Hector Herrera, to sit deep on a deep defending team. No chance. So he has influenced the overall tactics of this team, which also benefits the players. Because as a player, it's how you play the game that you get prideful in. That's what excites you. It motivates. So now you have an identity. And that is something Houston hasn't had for a long time. And that's because, honestly, and this is not on the players or past coaches, but investment-wise, prior ownership, they weren't trying to win nothing. You can't spoof the public like that. You just can't. There's too many educated people down here around soccer. And that's the danger of a league where you can invest and everybody shares a piece of the pie and you can park your money and make money a few years later. So that was, you know, that was that. This is now onto a happy place. But Herrera's happy. Style of play, give and goes. Sometimes they try to pull off a fourth give and go. I mean, it's fun. And now that is enhanced by width and the growth of Nelson Quiñones now, who is now not just a guy that runs down the left side. Now he is a guy that gets behind people down the left side. It took a long time to get there. There were flashes of it. But he is now a pretty consistent penetrator, which is a different thing than just running down the left side and not getting behind defenses. Now he's actually altering the team shape of opponents with his width. So Quiñones and Dorsey. Boy, put a circle around those two young guys because they have enhanced everything else that was put in place beautifully by the Dynamo staff. And Ben Olsen is managing and working with Herrera beautifully. So Herrera's a lot of things. Affects every line of the team. He's a leader on and off the field, set-piece delivery. And he's taken a team from the depths of the Western Conference and lifted it. And it's not solely him, but we all know this is a different team without him. So I say that all respectfully. This whole mantra of we treat all players the same, no, you don't. You treat Hector Herrera differently. And Ben Olsen knows as a head coach, my superstar has to be aligned with me. That's something he knows. That's something maybe a young coach might not know. And that he has to be treated differently to be utilized to get all his strengths. And for the club to get DP value to a man you are paying handsomely, that is what you would want from a coach. So Ben Olsen's doing this beautifully as well. All right. So Dynamo versus RSL. Nelson Quiñones and Griffin Dorsey, the wide contributions. lifted this team to the next level. Quiñones is two-way now. He defends, but he is penetrating. Both of these guys are. All right, so let's go on to Ben Olsen. This is soundbite number five on what will need to be cleaned up in the next game. Because one thing we did see, when the Dynamo took the lead, I don't think we saw them manage this game out maybe the way they would have liked, and I suspected Ben Olsen would say something about this postgame.
A little bit more efficient on the offensive end and cleaning some of the patterns and being more clinical and making sure we're smarter in our decisions in the final third. But more, you know, I think more important is our defensive transition moments where we are, I think, we're a little bit loose. And I don't think we understood how dangerous they were going to be.
Yeah, they got more dangerous when they bought on Anderson Julio, and I think it was Gomez. So listen, you have to give Pablo Mastroianni credit because basically without his three best players, he came into Houston. He had his team motivated, which I think we all knew that. I mean, Ben Olsen even said, you know, we're both cut from the same cloth. Pablo's a great motivator. But tactically, missing the three guys he was missing, I think he did some really, really good things. And that was, hey, let's play the first 45 minutes. Let's be positioned in the second half. And to an extent, he did that. But the Dynamo got the critical game's first goal. But, you know, and then he said, you know, look, at that, at some point, I'm going to bring on Anderson Julio. I'm going to bring on Gomez. They have pace. They have a little bit of different edge to them. They will be better for us in transition. So let's just... let's cancel out the first half. They got the tying goal, which, by the way, came after the Dynamo threatened a lot, though. Dynamo almost got goal number two, and then it was tied up. All right, so, you know, big mantra of the Dynamo is getting the lead, because if the Dynamo get the lead, they are a very good collective defending team. Here's Griffin Dorsey on punishing teams early.
Just about staying on top of teams and punishing teams early. You know, we are a great first half team, and sometimes I think we can lose it in the second half. Maybe it's a little bit of confidence or overconfidence, but I would just say that staying in it and punishing teams early is really where we need to focus.
So that was Griffin on that. Now, Griffin on everything later in the show tonight here. We also have Charlie Kadupski. He'll come up live in the beginning of the second hour. We're going to talk about college showcases for youth soccer players who want to play in college and the benefit of them. And then we'll also have Jordi Sunyer talking a lot about El Clasico and everything Barcelona and Real Madrid from that game. And also we'll ask him about Lionel Messi and, you know, winning the eighth Ballon d'Or. So that's going to set up a really, really good second hour here tonight. By the way, a reminder, Boca Juniors and Flamengo, Copa Libertadores final on Saturday. So the preset place for that final was the legendary Maracanã in Brazil. And Boca fans started arriving, I guess, yesterday, the day before. And there is a lot of stuff going on down there, a lot of fights, some riots, which makes it a little bit scary. All musical choices tonight by moi. This is a nice little groove going to break here. Guillermo, where did I find this song? What's the name of this band again? It's a cool name.
Poolside Harvest Moon.
Poolside. That's it, Harvest Moon. Poolside's always a good place to be. All right, 713-780-3776. Thoughts tonight, Houston Dynamo. We'll come back. We'll begin to talk about El Clasico, the Manchester Derby. Not good news for United. Another rough game in the Carabao Cup. Could it be this bad? One guy is on fire, Jude Bellingham. Wow. 13 games for Real Madrid. The guy's 20 years old. 13 goals. I mean, boy, what a joy to watch him play the game. And what a joy to watch Hector Herrera play the game. And Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash, is up for the number one goalkeeper in the league, which, by the way, she should win, in my opinion. She's got my vote. Juan Carlos Amoros, remember him? Former Dash coach? He's got Gotham into the semifinals. That's a big turnaround. That's a big turnaround, much like the Dynamo turnaround under Ben Olsen, his staff, and Herrera. A lot of good things happening. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Another segment, we start to go a little bit more international here on the show. I got a couple of interesting sound bites from Steven Gerrard and Christian Roldan and an American owner in Brazil. Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DanishInspirations.com, plus our great friends out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Tonight is steak night. If you're driving around right now, it's only 7:35. You can hit a steak at this hour. You're near the Marquee Entertainment Center. Get in there. You'll get an incredible steak, great whiskey offering, great beer offering. It is the one and only Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We break. I think this is Dan Auerbach. All right, 713-780-3776, streaming at ESPN975.com. We've got to come tonight here. We've got Charlie Kadupski coming up in the next segment from the Sports Source up in Dallas. We are going to talk about the importance of the college showcase for youth soccer players. And many of you have played in them, if you may be listening. We've also got Griffin Dorsey, the Dynamo defender. And then we finish the night with Jordi Sunyer, TV3 from Barcelona, with more on El Clasico. But we welcome you back. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm are the presenting sponsors of this show. I mentioned Boca and Flamengo this Saturday, Copa Libertadores final. But you've also got Der Klassiker, Borussia Dortmund, and Bayern Munich. So you got that one as well, as we welcome you back to the show. All right. Enough of Dan Auerbach. All right. So let's go into El Clasico. Ilkay Gundogan, last year won the treble with Manchester United, was brought to Barcelona. Was brought to Barcelona to lead because they have a bunch of younger players. Because of the financial crisis, and it's opened opportunity up for a lot of younger players. So 6 minutes in El Clasico, which is not being played at the Nou Camp. It's being played in the secondary stadium, which is a gorgeous stadium in the mountains that Barcelona has. It's a day where the Rolling Stones logo is everywhere, courtesy of Spotify. I have some thoughts on that in a minute. And I realized I was a little bit of a hypocrite, and I'll tell you why. But here's Gundogan, 6 minutes in, and he gives Barcelona the 1-0 lead.
Gundogan. And to go for the 1-2 with Torres Alaba, have to be quick. Gundogan's in here and puts Barcelona ahead. There's his first goal for the club, and what a time to score it.
First goal, as you heard there. So 6 minutes in, it's a first half that I think Barcelona is the better team. You go to the locker room, you might say, well, could you have produced a few more chances during that first half despite the dominance of the ball possession and a lot of the data? Yeah, you probably would have said yeah. So we go to the second half, and a man that is absolutely on fire, and he's only 20 years of age. He's English international, Jude Bellingham, who, by the way, was a part of that English midfield in the World Cup that the U.S. totally outplayed in the 0-0 draw. One of the best games I've ever seen a U.S. men's national team play in that last World Cup when it comes to against the world power and taking the game to them. The only thing that was missing on that day was the finish. But here's Bellingham, 68 minute, and I mean, this is an absolute pile driver of a finish.
Comes the cross, not good enough quality. Gabby got it away. Here's Bellingham. Oh! My goodness! What about that? That is a tracer bullet. He's done it again. Jude Bellingham, he hasn't, frankly, been in this game. And then he explodes one into the back of the net like that to mark his first Clasico with a gorgeous goal.
That goal was called a tracer bullet. Now, that's military. So what people must remember is that military, you know, bomb, there's a lot of words that are used by commentators that are military type words, right? They can get you in trouble sometimes. Got me in trouble once. One day the story will be told. Tracer bullet. Okay. Bomb in football. Blitz, short for blitzkrieg. Just depends on who you are. Who can get away with saying it and who can't. Like I said, one day I'll tell the real story. 713-780-3776. And by that time, nobody will care anyway, so I probably won't tell it. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. So this was a spectacular goal. Just absolutely hit with tremendous power. It hits the upper corner. So Bellingham, at this point now, has scored 13 in 13 games. 90 plus two. This was kind of sloppy, but he becomes an instant part of Clasico lore with this second goal, and this wins it in stoppage time.
Carvajal. He's in. It's around and Otterloo. Was in there, and so was Bellingham. So was Bellingham again to win it for Real Madrid. It's incredible the story that's unfolding with him. Real Madrid turn it all around with seconds remaining.
Yeah, so two goals in the second half for Bellingham. By the way, he was a ghost in the first half. Vinicius Jr. was a ghost in the first half. In fact, he was more into complaining with everybody, including Xavi, the coach of Barcelona, than he was in playing. But Araujo marked him out of the game in the first half. So you didn't get a lot from Vinicius Jr. in this game because, frankly, he wasn't focused. I really believe that his future, he is so talented, but that his future is going to depend on focus, application, and not all this reaction and trying to draw fouls and constantly complaining. I want to see him get a harder shell, and then that potentially, I think, could put him into the upper echelon of players. So Ilkay Gundogan was brought to Barcelona to lead as a veteran. Here he is post-match, and he's straight to the point here. I love this.
I don't want to say something wrong, to be honest, but I was not in the dressing room, and of course, people are disappointed. But especially after such a game, such a big game, and such a result, you know, that is so unnecessary, I wish more frustration, more anger, you know, and more disappointment. And this is a little bit the problem, you know. There has to be more emotion, especially when you lose, you know, when you know you can perform better, you can do better in single and certain situations. And you just don't react, and this just transfers to the pitch at the end of the day. And we need to make a huge step in that. Otherwise, Real Madrid or even Girona is going to run away. And I didn't come here, you know, to lose this type of games or to let the gap create, you know. And there's also a responsibility from myself, you know, from a more experienced player, to not allow, you know, the squad to just let things happen. No, we need resistance.
That is a captain. That is music to my ears. I love that. That's a football first guy, which not everybody's football first. Remember, he comes from the culture of Manchester City and Guardiola, who's as competitive as anybody on the planet. So he comes to this new situation. He doesn't want to lower his standards. He's the captain. Apparently, there were people on cell phones right after the game. I loved his word. He used anger and disappointment. I would add to that pain, and I mean healthy pain. It's so easy to just, you know, like water to the back of a duck that just rolls right off. It's so easy to quickly push away living in a little bit of the pain of a loss, which is part of competition. And we can look on our phone and we can apologize to the fans and we'll get them next time. And, you know, take a video, you know, coming into the stadium with my new gear on. We don't even get time to mourn losses anymore. I mean, you already got Houston Astros fans talking about the stadium, and that's the problem why they don't hit. And I mean, the excuses are just absolutely ridiculous. But I guess that's the environment we live in. It's all about not being accountable and excuses, which then leads you to believe that if you put together a team that's accountable, you're going to be different. That's the aim of a lot of these managers. It's not easy to get there. I can't even imagine coaching these guys. I have more money than God. It's got to be tough. And professional soccer in leagues all over the world, it's got to be careful. It ends up being like the NBA where nobody really gives a damn if you win or lose. Just about where the next party is. I mean, seriously, until you get to the playoffs. But I love that from Gundogan. I think that's real leadership, especially a young team. They need a guy like that. Lewandowski came into that game. He's been injured. He did not look good at all. Could not bring a ball down to save his life. And we all know how great of a player he is and what a season he had last year. But he did not look good. And all right, so here's the manager, Xavi, on the efficiency of his squad in this game against Real Madrid.
Y el fútbol es esto, cuando no terminas marcando el 2-0, pues el Madrid tiene estas cosas, ¿no? Nosotros necesitamos igual hoy 5-6 para hacer un gol y el Madrid con 3 o 2.5 te hace 2 goles. Yo creo que esta es la diferencia hoy. 25 buenos y te hacen 2 goles. Y nosotros 60 y hemos hecho solo 1. Creo que nos ha faltado efectividad, creo que el juego...
Go ahead, Guillermo. Give us the translation there of Xavi.
So Xavi just goes on and saying the difference between, you know, Madrid's roster and his roster. Barcelona needs like 5 or 6 players to create 1 goal in 60 minutes, while Madrid need 2 to 3 players to create 2 goals in less than 5. And that, he goes on to say, you know, that his team needs to be more efficient in these kinds of situations.
But hasn't that, that's been the story of Barcelona. I mean, it usually is a team goal of 5 or 6 passes amongst guys, right? And Real Madrid has been, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo or a direct ball to Karim Benzema. That's a bit of a debatable way I'm saying this. But, listen, the difference in this game was a budding superstar who produced 2 key moments. And I'll tell you another thing. You might say, oh, the second goal, it just falls to him. Yeah, but that tends to happen to great players, right? Great players tend to be the guy who's in that moment and does get the gratuitous bounce or the opportunity to pounce on something. And Bellingham scores 2 goals in the second half. You didn't know he was playing in the first half, by the way. Luka Modric is another one people are talking about coming to MLS, who's now coming off the bench a little bit more for Real Madrid because he is getting a little bit older. All right, on to the Manchester Derby. This one was never in doubt. This was at Old Trafford. Penalty kick 26 minutes in for Erling Haaland.
A chance for City from the penalty spot. Haaland scores. And City are in front in the 191st Manchester Derby. And Erling Haaland, who scored a hat-trick, of course, against United last season, is one-third the way to another one here.
Well, he makes it 2-0 in the 49th minute.
Grealish now with Fernandes in front of him. Can Grealish get beyond Bruno Fernandes? Outside it goes to Bernardo Silva. Clipped in. Haaland! 2-0 City! That is a magnificent goal!
How good is Bernardo Silva? I mean, in this system, Portugal, remarkable. Oh, and then, you know, you got this guy Phil Foden, who's not a bad player either. He gets one in the 80th.
Rodri now comes towards the edge of the area, tries the shot, Rodri, good save by Onana, Haaland on the rebound, Foden, he does end in a goal. I've lost count of the passes, but it must be treble figures, and City lead 3-0.
Oof, this is a tough one for Manchester United fans. This is tough. And after you got into the Champions League last year, and there's been injuries, Lisandro Martinez, Varane, Luke Shaw, certainly there's problems at the back there, but man, it's, pardon me?
Start transitioning to break in a bit.
It's institutional. It's come from the top down. And now they're talking about, okay, Ten Hag could get fired. Comes from the top down. Real quick here. Pep Guardiola on Bernardo Silva.
He's an incredible player for us. He loves to play in Old Trafford too. I think I don't remember one performance we didn't play good. Sometimes play he as a false nine in the past. Has this ability to make a lot of long possessions and attack in the right moment. He's so intelligent. So he played another exceptional performance. So he's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. I was lucky to train a lot of players, top class one. This is one of the.
Wow, one of the best players he's ever seen in his life. Pep Guardiola and Bernardo Silva. Here's ETH on the tactical approach against City.
Just what I expected. You know they will come and press us, and no one can actually be surprised. I said it from the beginning that I need their players on the left side who can make angles and also to step in. And especially against City, with the side as they press us, and you have to step in to get the press on them. So I think they did this very well.
So you kind of feel sorry for coaches when they're under the cush like him. And, of course, they're saying he's potentially could be fired. But how many managers are you going to go through before you just decide it's coming from the top? And if the top of the organization isn't that good, doesn't have a vision, isn't connected, isn't supporting the competitive side, you got problems. I'm leaning to poor ownership and poor management and poor people in key positions at United as the real big reason. Bad purchases. I'm not putting it on coaches fully. That's the easy way out. All right, we're going to take a break. This is the Human League. And second hour, Charlie Cadupsi coming up from the Sports Source. We're going to talk a little bit of youth soccer and the importance and what you can gain and benefit from college showcases, which are basically events set up for teams to come in, college coaches observe, and there's potential connections and networking to determine where your college future might be. All right, take a break. Second hour, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm who present.